everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share this hour with you. We begin, as always, at looking at things that we can do. Inexpensive, but easy, that can help us. We're going to talk about garlic, folic acid. We're going to look at the teaching yourself everyday happiness with human imagery. Vitamin A. New research establishing how and why diets high in sugar and fat cause liver disease. We began with a National University of South Korea. An article published in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry talks about garlic. Sprouted for 5 days, it improves antioxidant potential. I use a nut butter, a walnut butter, pistachio, almond, that is not just raw and organic, but is also sprouted. And that sprouting makes a big difference in improving antioxidant and ORAC quality. And the sprouted garlic, meaning sprouted garlic is old garlic bulbs with bright green shoots emerging from the cloves, is considered to be the past, well, no longer present, meaning it's older. Wrong, because most people just throw it away. But scientists are reporting that this type of garlic has even more heart-healthy antioxidant activity than its fresher counterparts. So, look for the sprouted garlic. It is more powerful, has more antioxidants, better for your heart. From the First People's Hospital of Changchun in China, folic acid and B12 are lower in men with erectile dysfunction. And that's important. So this was published in Sexual Medicine, and they find that if you don't have enough of the B-complex, especially folic acid and B12, then you're going to have a greater homocysteine level and higher indicators of infection with Helicobacter, or what's called H. pylori, among men with erectile dysfunction in comparison with healthy men. Now, we should know that helico, it's H-E-L-I-C-O-B-A-T-E-R, pylori, P-Y-L-O-R-E, Helicobacter pylori, it's a bacteria, and it infects about half of the world's population, and it's the major cause of gastrointestinal ulcers. And because H. pylori immunoglobulin G titers have recently been found to be significantly higher in erectile dysfunction. By erectile dysfunction just means, and it's in men generally from the age of, it can be in their 30s on, it means you're not able to maintain a full erection, partial erection. And that's probably half the men in the United States over the age of 35, probably 90% of the men in the United States over the age of 50. Men just don't talk about it, but it's important. And it's important that we can reverse that by understanding how to have a healthier blood flow through the veins that are feeding the reproductive system, and how sitting too long, riding bikes, will create compression and collapse those veins under the scrotum, and that's not good. Also, by taking in anything that's improving nitric oxide, so anything that you can take that increases nitric oxide, that's really smart. Because more than anything else I could tell you, that will benefit you. And then take choline, about 500 milligrams of choline, which is part of the B complex. That the two of those working together are terrific. Anyhow, so there's many factors. For example, if you take B12, folic acid, B6, and vitamin C, you will lower your homocysteine level. If you lower your homocysteine level, you lower your risk of heart attack and stroke measurably. But most people don't ever take that measurement, simple and inexpensive, and so they could be walking around at risk of a heart attack or stroke and not even know it. So, but that also means you're not getting the blood into the veins. So, just something to share. Excuse me. So the question from University of New South Wales, as well as the University of North Carolina, is, what's on your plate? 60% of foods in America contain unhealthy additives. Troubling new research finds the majority of foods purchased by Americans, 60%, contain any number of artificial additives such as preservatives, sweeteners, or coloring and flavoring agents. Even worse, these levels represent a 10% increase in the last 20 years. And that's where we're going to convenience foods, box foods. Food additives are so ubiquitous in the first place thanks to their ability to extend various food shelf lives and improve palatability. In fact, restaurants now are priding themselves, bragging about using monosodium glutamate, MSG. I wouldn't, because that's a neurotoxin. You shouldn't have any MSG at all. And yet I now see articles about, oh yeah, we feature MSG because it increases the quality of the taste of the food. This is how far around this circle we've gone. It's a really deadly toxin. It historically has been used in Chinese food, but then it went into a lot of other food. So don't use it if you care about your brain and your health. And start using healthy, clean food without the additives. It's important. Also, from Smart Brain Norway, flashbacks of scene from traumatic events often haunt those suffering from psychiatric conditions, including PTSD. The close relationship between the human imagery system and our emotions can cause deep emotional patterns. And imagery techniques are often used in cognitive psychotherapy to help patients modify disturbing mental images and overcome the negative emotions from their past. So this team set out to see if such techniques could become self-guided and developed at home. So healthy people are also emotionally affected by what we see and the images we remember. So if we visually remember an image from an unpleasant interaction with our boss or spouse or whoever, this can cause an increased level of anxiety about our work and demotivation. There's a great interest in ways to combat such everyday negative emotional responses through imagery training. This is a challenge. It's not easy to do, so I suggest you seek help. Dr. Grayson, Henry Grayson, has a lot of these techniques, as do other people. And he uses a tapping technique. You can go to his website and download the videos, and these can help. Because what you're doing, I did a long, long webinar last night that will be coming out shortly, about 8 hours long. So I'm a little hoarse because it was me talking for 8 straight hours on a very important topic on the economy. I'm going to highlight some of that a little later in today's program. In any case, let's just say that you have problems with where you feel things in your heart, you feel heartbroken, or you have troubles with your back, your pain in my back, or you give me headaches, or I get an upset stomach. What you're doing, you're locking specific emotional encounters in life to different parts of your body. And then when you think of something or see something or hear something, even though it could be decades after the event, that give you some sense that it's similar, your body immediately reacts in less than a split second as if you were back there at that event. Now, I created a system, it's called Living Your Life in Reverse. And what it means is this. You go back through your life. I'm sorry. Got to clear my throat. You go back through your life and you focus upon the most remarkably positive events in your life. The happy times, the good times, the unique times, the first times. And you replay those in your mind. Now for every time you think about it, you're laying down another memory, which is good. then you keep saying to yourself, these are the best moments of my life. And indeed, there probably were the most exciting moments. These were the beginnings of transitions that led you into a new way of thinking. I remember the first time I went to a disco, and I saw these people dancing, and I was there alone, and I didn't have the courage to go ask anyone to dance that night. I was very shy. But the next time I went, I asked someone to dance, and I had fun. Well, that was the beginning of my whole dancing experience. And if any of you ever watched me dance, I'm a free-float dancer, and I really enjoy it. I'm in the rhythm. And it's a great way to express yourself through dancing. Well, those are remarkable moments. But then one day, we've done those. Disco is gone, and we transition to something else. Well, the more transitions we have, the more remarkable positive moments we have, the more exciting moments we have. The anticipation to going to someplace you've never been, like going to a health retreat. I'm sure that people are thinking, what's it going to be like? How am I going to fit in? What's the food going to be like? Am I going to be hungry? I don't know what it's like being around all these strangers. I'm used to being in office or home environment where I'm around friends and family. And there can be a certain tension, but there can also be excitement, learning new things, being in a hospitable, not a hostile environment, being around people who are there to support you. Each one of the staff are outstanding in their fields. They come here because they truly have benefited and are playing it forward. In fact, in our new health retreat coming up, we have a really, really big surprise. I just said, what the heck? I want to have someone who's outstanding in the field of mental health, dealing with depression and anxiety, two of the biggest problems we have in the world today. So I made a phone call. And I made a phone call to a friend of mine. And I asked him, I said, would you be willing to come down for a week, one of the last 2 weeks of May, to spend an hour, hour and a half every day video streaming from our theater? We built a beautiful theater, but people were there to de-stress, relax, de-age. And he said, of course I would. I'd love to. Great opportunity. And especially since you're streaming it, then people all over the world could see it. Well, yes and no. Only people in the study can, but not everyone. And we don't have that bandwidth. And that was Dr. Peter Resnick. Now, without question, Peter Resnick is unique. He's iconoclastical in the sense that he doesn't follow, he leads. He's very soft-spoken. He is a deep meditator, but he has a different perspective on meditation. He has a different perspective on mental conditions. He doesn't see focusing upon your angst, your panic attacks, as the beginning of the process. Rather, understanding what in your life, what in the negative remarkable moments of your life, the negative side, have created these patterns and then solidified them. And so he believes in looking at everything in the Gaia and then pulling together all the pieces you need to change. Is he successful? You bet. Has he helped countless people overcome depression, anxiety, and other mental conditions? Absolutely. In one of the most gentle ways you've ever imagined. So he's going to be there. Other people are going to be there too. Mitchell Raven's going to be there, one of the finest teachers of energy transfer. Now, people always ask me, what am I doing when I'm doing energy work? And I never go into it. I never explain it. I'm merely saying this. Every single thing in life is energy. There's not a single thing in life ever that's without energy. When you're alive, energy's manifesting. When you're dead, your energy's gone, but it's not gone forever. It's just no longer in your physical presence. You can't destroy energy and you can't create it. So merely knowing how to use the existing energy of life, laughter, that's sharing energy that's positive. Anger, that's sharing energy that's negative. Even if the reason you are angry can be justified, the expression of it is going to have unintended consequences. It's like a person who's, I'm just getting off a 40-day fast. I feel great about my fast. I've generated and rejuvenated and I've cleansed. And now I'm going into a smorgasbord and I'm going to eat everything on the menu. I'm going to eat so much that they're going to have to take me out of there in a stretcher. Well, then what was the point of the fast? Then the approach you're taking is going to be counterintuitive and counterproductive. You cannot solve a problem of anger with anger. You cannot solve a problem of insecurity by being insecure. Because the mind that created the insecurity, the incidents that led to that insecure conditioning, cannot be used to uncondition it. You can't untie a knot by tying a knot on a knot. This is complicated. I'm going to be dealing with it for at least 20 hours of lectures, taking you real deep into this to show you what you say, how you say it, what you think, how you think it, and realizing almost everything you've been conditioned to believe up to this point is only partially true, even with the best of intents. I'm doing a brand new series of lectures on how to extend our consciousness beyond our conditioning. Mitchell Raven will be helping with Qigong and Tai Chi in physical exercises, yoga in physical exercises, cooking classes, sprouting classes, and guidance in taking any problem and showing you the solution. I'll be doing that, by the way. Anyone who's ever come to my lecture, I don't know anyone and never met him, but I'd say, I'll give you a solution that's constructive and positive that will work within 3 minutes, no matter how difficult the problem. You can't show me a problem that I can't find a solution for. It doesn't exist. Why? Because I'm smarter? No. Because I'm not limited by conditioned beliefs. I'm not tribal. I belong to no tribe, and therefore I'm not limited by the tribal notions of what is acceptable in our perception, which becomes a reality. So therefore, the world is where I play, where I live. You'll see it, all right? And that's how healing occurs. So if you want to know why so many people are walking around who should be dead, it's not because I worked on their cancer, their arthritis, their heart disease. No, we worked on liberating that energy that was hidden and feared to be touched because it would create an immediate crisis. And who am I? The person I've mastered or the person that I was born to be? A little confusing, but I'm just giving you an idea that we can train ourselves to liberate ourselves from living an overly narrow, highly repetitive, highly conditioned, highly biased existence and think it's normal. It isn't. And that's why Henry Grayson has contributed to this whole concept. Peter Resnick has certainly made major contributions and will be to those of you who are benefiting by being there. It could change your life completely and has in people. Rodney, could you get a few of the tapes together for later in the program from people spontaneously telling on the last day, just 5 days? Of what the changes were, and people say 10 days, even greater ones. Anyhow, the point I'm making is, if we want to help ourselves overcoming conditions, and according to Smart Brain Norway, this whole research team dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, and all of us, every person has some form of post-traumatic stress, it just manifests either mildly or where you put a gun in your mouth and blow your brains out, as about 22 soldiers do every day in the United States. Over 160,000 have taken their own lives, and yet not a word on it, not an article, no movement, nothing to help these people. In fact, just the opposite. The very medications we're giving them are precipitating the suicidal ideation. The very medications you're given for your depression and anxiety can create depression and anxiety. That's their number one side effect in both drugs, and then suicidal ideation. So instead of dealing with the cause, let's give them another drug. If they're that anxious, give them another anti-anxiety drug. That depressed, give them another antidepressant drug. No. No. Everything we're doing right now in the world is wrong. Everything. We can't do a damn thing right, and yet we're not able to see it because we have become the tree in the forest without being aware of the forest. That's all going to change for those who come to the retreat and the anti-aging. And it does. These people are completely different, liberated, free, happy human beings. They don't have to worry about disease, and they're going to live a longer life. Anyhow, that's what this smart brain study showed, that you can do this. Now, sometimes you'll need help. I suggest regressive hypnosis, one of the best ways in the world is to help yourself. But also tapping, and I'm not going to go into tapping now, but it works. Rebirthing, it also works. Go up and Google, and you can download the videos on that. Separately, from Stanford University, as well as Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, vitamin A may reduce pancreatitis risk during all treatment. Consuming a diet rich in vitamin A, that's your plant-based diet, that's your carrots and your beets, or its analogs, taking a supplement, may help prevent children and young adults from acute lymphoblastic leukemia, reduce the risk of developing painful pancreas inflammation during chemotherapy treatment. And this was in Science Translational Medicine. Once again, all good on a healthy, plant-based, clean diet. From the University of Missouri School of Medicine comes a study establishing how and why diets high in sugar and fat cause liver disease. And liver disease now is one of the most leading diseases in America. It's called non-alcoholic, meaning it didn't come from alcohol, fatty liver disease, and it didn't come from sclerosis. It didn't come from hepatitis, the primary cause of liver disease. No, it came from your diet, the Western-based diet. Induced microbial and metabolic contributors to liver disease, advancing to this whole idea that we better pay attention to the gut-liver axis, and in turn, the development of dietary microbial interventions like probiotics, prebiotics, beet juice, pomegranates, celery, because these things can prevent it and also are helpful in reversing it. This was published in Nature Communications. Good probiotics every day. But you have to be conscious that you need to do that. And to do that, you have to change your perception about it. It's a pain. Once a week, I'll eat an apple. That's my contribution. Okay, if that's your choice, and you have a freedom of choice, are you teaching the same choice to your children? We're going to take a break and come back. And we're going to take on someone who's not used to being taken on. That's what this show does. Back in a moment. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. I'm a big believer in freedom of choice. I just hope people realize that with every choice, there is a responsibility. My hope is that you do your homework from independent sources, because that independent source could be biased or it could be honest. And look at all of the misinformation that we've been fed for the last 3 years about COVID. Look at what we're being lied to about Ukraine. Look at how they lied to us about Libya and Syria being terrorist states and therefore deserve to be bombed. Look at the people who lied about everything and the media that supports them, but lying about everything. So at what point do we start realizing that they're not the problem? I would never believe anything Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton said about anything, because their pattern of self-serving and the institutions they're associated with. I can't blame them for being who they are. But I have to ask, what responsibility do we have to stop using them as sources? One person, probably the most important source in the world considering COVID, is Bill Gates. He also is the biggest person behind China of supporting the World Health Organization. And therefore, through the World Health Organization, he's been able to get his vaccines that he has an interest in, financial interest, used without parental permission in many parts of India and Africa. In Africa, they found in Kenya that the young girls were no longer able to get pregnant. When they did some studies on their blood, they found out that the vaccine that was given to them through the Gates Foundation had a particular type of luteinizing hormone that prevented pregnancy. In effect, they were sterilizing a population, people of color in Africa, and the medical doctors were outraged by this. Nothing happened to the Gates or the other people. But what about all those people who are now permanently sterile as young girls? They were lied to, and they're disappointed. Did you see an article in the New York Times, the Washington Post? Were they condemned by the World Health Organization? No, not a word. I could go on about Bill Gates, but I'm not, because someone is doing a short interview with him. You've never seen an interview of Bill Gates like this, ever. Let's go to the interview.
Mr. Gates, in your own words, what have you contributed to the world?
I'm not sure if you're aware, but I created the world's most popular computer operating system.
No, of course. But as we all know, it wasn't actually you who created it. As a matter of fact, the predecessor of Windows, MS-DOS, was created by Gary Kildall, which you then basically stole from him for a couple of dollars.
It's not just development. There's a whole lot of important factors to running an enormously successful company like Microsoft.
So then let's leave the computer world for a moment. You have been a major spokesperson for COVID vaccines during the pandemic.
Yes.
What exactly makes you, a computer engineer who didn't even program his initial product himself, a valid representative of the pharmaceutical industry?
I have read a lot of books about that topic.
How does that?
Wait a second. And met with specialists from the field all over the world.
Mr. Gates, with all due respect, how do you feel about it now? Now that it's becoming more and more evident that the medication you were promoting, whilst having heavily invested in it yourself, thus making billions of it,
this is not how the world works,
has caused countless injuries, side effects, and death.
That's a very immature way of looking at it, quite frankly.
So here's my final question to you. Is this a behavioral pattern?
What do you mean exactly?
Taking technology from other people that you don't understand, selling a product full of bugs, causing massive damage and profiting from it in a spectacular way.
No. This is not how the world works.
Can you sleep at night?
Okay, that's enough. This interview is over. Thank you.
How about that? Why wouldn't we have any of the milksop lapdog people within the media give the same interview with Anthony Fauci? Everything that person said was correct and accurate about Bill Gates. And now he invested in one of the vaccines, the medications. I think he put in somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million and is getting $500 million in return when he sold that. And now he says, yeah, well, that didn't work, and we learned lessons learned. Oh, like Vietnam, lessons learned, walk away from it with $500 million in profit from one single one of the ones that were used, but he had money in all of them. Good for that person. But I'm not going to stop there, because I've been to the Caribbean many times, and I have a lot of respect for what they're trying to do to rebuild after all the problems Bill Clinton caused in the Caribbean, especially in Jamaica. For those of you who are Jamaican, the middle of Jamaica is the farming area of the whole country. It's very large, and they're small farms, mostly organic. They have dairies, and even though the general income for the people were low, the cost of living was low also, and the abundance of food, inexpensive, healthy food, local food, was terrific. I mean, they have farmers markets, they had farmers markets down in Jamaica that would dwarf any that you've ever seen in the United States. Great varieties, because they also had people from India and other cultures there who were growing things that you wouldn't normally see grown in America. In comes Bill Gates, and as governor of Arkansas, and he starts giving them very low price rice and potatoes, etc. Well, guess what happens? Then if a person has a chance of spending $2 a pound for something locally, or 50 cents a pound for this imported rice from you know what's going to happen. And suddenly it destroyed the entire economy. I was there. I filmed there. I went up and down that whole valley and below the Blue Mountains and sold closed, bankrupt dairies. They brought in non-fat dry milk. And then all a person had to do is reconstitute it by putting water in it. And it costs one half of what a regular fresh dairy milk in Jamaica would cost. So the dairies dried up. So Bill Clinton was personally responsible for destroying the lives of countless farmers in Jamaica. And also he was personally responsible, he and his, you know, his wife, Hillary, of destroying the economy of Haiti. That's historically accurate. Ever hear him challenged on that? Not once. Or her? Not once. But here is someone, some smarly reporter, who is interviewing the Barbados Prime Minister, Mia Mottley. And it's just 2 minutes long. Listen to how she responds to a challenge about corruption in her country and other countries.
Beloved Prime Minister Mia Mottley always delivers. Let me show you this clip.
The elephant in the room, what a lot of Western climate diplomats tell me, is that leaders like yourself also carry a responsibility. Why are vulnerable countries still so debt-stricken? Why is there still corruption? What is your response to that?
You really want me to answer you?
I do.
Okay. Why is it that every time we talk about countries from the south, the first allegation is corruption? Last time I checked, in the USA and the UK and Europe, they're riddled with corruption, but nobody says that they're not capable of achieving their objectives because of corruption. Why is it that we're not talking about the fact that these countries became independent, haven't allowed those countries that colonized them to extract significant portions of their wealth, such that we had no proper housing, no proper education, no proper healthcare systems, no proper legal systems, no proper across the whole stream, and certainly nothing to do with building social capital like community development and cultural enterprises. And what has happened is therefore that we have spent the time since independence trying to give our people what the global north has taken for granted and has supported by the extrication of centuries of wealth to give their people out of our blood, sweat, and tears. Now, when our blood, sweat, and tears finances the Industrial Revolution, and the Industrial Revolution then causes the climate crisis, and then I have to pay for the consequences of the climate crisis because of the Industrial Revolution financed by our blood, sweat, and tears, then I think they have no moral authority to tell me anything about the financing of the climate or about why we don't have enough.
Is it anger over this that fuels your energy?
Anger? Absolutely not. Unfairness, lack of justice. They're not angry. I'm just disappointed that humankind still wants to believe that there's one world for a set of people and another world for another set.
Tell them, Mia. Tell them for us. I always see.
She's completely correct. The Europe, all the countries of Europe, especially Belgium, with King Leopold, and the United States, they've all exploited every single southern country they could. They've corrupted the system. They've kept Papa Dr. Duvalier and his secret Tonton police that tortured and murdered countless individuals in Haiti. Our governments supported that. Our CIA, the White House, State Department, every kind of possible mineral resource that we could take out of a country, we did and are doing so even to this day. And what did we do? We then caused the Industrial Revolution by exploiting all this and using it. None of that to their benefit. And even France, little crap hole that it is, charged the Haitian people reparations for them to be free for almost 100 or plus years, instead of allowing that money that they were earning on their own, finally, to benefit and grow their own economy and standard of living. Why wasn't anyone challenging France on that? but they didn't. Why did the British, when they finally, through one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest legislators in the British Parliament, long before we emancipated slaves, they were emancipated there, but they didn't give the money, any money to the slaves or help them at all. They gave the money to the people who were the slave ship owners for the lost cargoes of slaves they were bringing over, the profits they were making. Again, we do everything ass backwards. She was right. They have every reason to say, why don't you look at your two-tier system? If you see any rich people in the Caribbean, they're buying mansions. They're not supporting the local economy. And that's happening in the United States as well. Good for them. One last one before we take your calls at 888-874-4888. I wanted to play this piece. This is from 1981, from a movie that had several really good clips in it. I played some. And see how prophetic this is all these decades later. This is one clip, 1981, about they knew about massive brainwashing as a machine, meaning all you have to do is get people convinced that your beliefs becoming their beliefs are the only and right beliefs, and then they no longer challenge any belief. How many people have I spoken with who would love to leave New York but are afraid to? They're afraid to go to the store. They're afraid to get on a subway. They're afraid to walk in Central Park. And if you doubt me, if you live in New York City, if you live in those multi-million-dollar homes on the park, north, south, east, and west, why don't you all take your children and go into Central Park tonight at midnight and go for a walk? Surely it's safe. Or go take your family on a subway. I'd like to see all the people on Fifth Avenue. I'd like to see all the people on Wall Street instead of getting into a limousine. Go on a subway home. I'd like to see that. You're cowards. You're hypocrites. You live in a $10 million penthouse on the park, and you're terrified to go into that park. How did that happen? You know how it happened. I know how it happened. I'm not going to discuss it at this point. And this is what I'm talking about. When you live in a situation you shouldn't live in, you've allowed it to degrade. Yet because of your income or your situation, you believe it's not going to impact you. I call that drinking the clean water in a toilet bowl that is half full with crap. Good luck wrapping your mind around that. Now to the clip.
Yes, we are bored. We're all bored now. But has it ever occurred to you, Wally, that the process that creates this boredom that we see in the world now may very well be a self-perpetuating, unconscious form of brainwashing created by a world totalitarian government based on money? And that all of this is much more dangerous than one thinks? And it's not just a question of individual survival, Wally, but that somebody who's bored is asleep, and somebody who's asleep will not say no? See, I keep meeting these people. I mean, just a few days ago, I met this man whom I greatly admire. He's a Swedish physicist, Gustav Bjornstrand. And he told me that he no longer watches television, he doesn't read newspapers, and he doesn't read magazines. He's completely cut them out of his life because he really does feel that we're living in some kind of Orwellian nightmare now, and that everything that you hear now contributes to turning you into a robot. And when I was at Findhorn, I met this extraordinary English tree expert who had devoted his life to saving trees. Just got back from Washington, lobbying to save the redwoods. He's 84 years old. He always travels with a backpack because he never knows where he's going to be tomorrow. And when I met him at Findhorn, he said to me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "New York." He said, "Ah, New York. Yes, that's a very interesting place. Do you know a lot of New Yorkers who keep talking about the fact that they want to leave but never do?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And he said, "Why do you think they don't leave?" I gave him different banal theories. He said, "Oh, I don't think it's that way at all." He said, "I think that New York is the new model for the new concentration camp, where the camp has been built by the inmates themselves, and the inmates are the guards, and they have this pride in this thing they've built. They've built their own prison, and so they exist in a state of schizophrenia, where they are both guards and prisoners, and as a result, they no longer have, having been lobotomized, the capacity to leave the prison they've made or to even see it as a prison." And then he went into his pocket and he took out a seed for a tree and he said, "This is a pine tree." He put it in my hand and he said, "Escape before it's too late." See, actually for 2 or 3 years now, Chiquita and I have had this very unpleasant feeling that we really should get out. Don't we really feel like Jews in Germany in the late 30s? Get out of here. Of course, the problem is where to go, because it seems quite obvious that the whole world is going in the same direction. See, I think it's quite possible that the 1960s represented the last burst of the human being before he was extinguished, and that this is the beginning of the rest of the future now, and that from now on there'll simply be all these robots walking around, feeling nothing, thinking nothing, and there'll be nobody left almost to remind them that there once was a species called a human being, with feelings and thoughts, and that history and memory are right now being erased, and soon nobody will really remember that life existed on the planet.
Absolutely correct. Let's say hello to Sandy from Westchester. Hi, Sandy. Your turn. You're on the air.
Gary. Hi, Gary. Thank you, Gary. And thank you for the rock and roll. I'm calling because my nieces and nephews who left Puerto Rico because, well, there were no jobs for college graduates or anyone else. And they're in where their children came home recently and said things like, you know, Mommy, I'm very upset. And why? Well, because this is one of the boys who's 12 said, Mommy, they say I'm really a girl. This is not right. What is going on here? And another daughter came home at 10 years old and she said, Mom, I'm a boy. This is not right. I'm not a boy. What are they saying to me in school? And they pulled the kids out of school and they're banding together with other parents to do homeschooling. And they're looking everywhere for material, and actually they're very happy with their decisions, and some of them, you know, are sharing the news with other people who still have their kids in school, and the kids are very upset and confused. And so I just wanted people to hear that children have a voice and that they are upset. They're sometimes angry but don't know what to do. They've, of course, left the schools, friends, and everything that they knew. And yet they knew that, you know, they couldn't stay there being called strange pronouns or strange names or being told that there's something that they believed that they were not.
Good for them. The homeschooling movement is flourishing. It's growing. It's becoming exponentially larger than ever before, as are charter schools. But of course, the corrupt major unions, the educational unions, don't want the charter schools. I've helped charter schools, and I gave them the whole health program, the two of them over in Newark, and they had the highest rate of graduation. They got into college. They did good in colleges. They had discipline. And these are the poorest of the poor. So we're giving, in some cases, $60,000 per student. That's more than what if you went to Harvard in the middle of a school. Where's that going? It's not going to the student. It's not going to the teacher. It's not going to improve the quality of their educational standards. It's going to the administrators, to the equity advisors. And this is what we have to challenge, and we have to expose it. And the parents are saying, no, I'm not going to allow you to be the primary provider of the life insight information. I am, not you. You're not going to do that. So I fully support homeschooling, and it's growing, and it's getting better. Thank you very much, Sandy. Sandy from Westchester. I'm going to take just a few moments to address a problem. Before I do that, I want to mention, however, that as of today, we are finalizing all of our schedule. We have all of our speakers. We have our workshops. We have our menu. We went over it with our chef, our gourmet vegan menu, and getting all the ingredients for our 1 or 2 weeks. Person come from 1 to 2 weeks, the 14th to the 27th of May, in one of the most beautiful, idyllic parts of America. And it's an opportunity to change your life, to relax, to detoxify, to rejuvenate, to de-stress, to get different perceptions on how we deal with our crisis and problems, and get counseling, all in one place, safely too. And I'm going to play you two little quick clips of people who were recently at one, and these are just regular people, non-rehearsed. They were just asked, come in and just pick up a phone and tell people what you gained from being here for a week.
This is Alexis. I was at Gary Knowles' retreat for a week, and I want to say that he has a very beautiful villa there, and I enjoyed the fresh air and the open space, like garden surroundings. He had a schedule. We had a schedule every day that started with stretches and power walks to get your blood moving and circulation. And there was also gym, yoga, tai chi, drumming. Art classes, also a beautiful swimming pool. Gary was really amazing with a transfer of energy to some of us. My eyes had been extremely fired feeling for days. He transferred energy to me through my forehead. As I was leaving the room, I noticed that my eyes didn't feel tired anymore. I'm so thankful for him, to him for that. I also enjoyed the people that I met at the retreat. And the staff was cordial, helpful, and encouraging. And we also had vegan food, smoothies, and healthful drinks. I even got a chance to speak with Luann. I enjoyed my experience there. And so it's really very helpful. And Gary gave us some lectures, and it was very interesting and helpful. Thank you for letting me share. This is Alexis.
The Gary Knowles Retreat is truly a soul-expanding experience. I found it to be very beneficial for my mind, my heart, and of course my body. The food is very balancing. The silence that we experience during eating is also, it's hard to get used to, but I have to say, it's once you get used to it, it's an absolutely game changer in the way that you eat, in the way that you think about food, in the way that you digest your food. The classes are excellent. I especially liked the acting improv with Kathleen and the yoga with Summer. There's a pool. The aqua aerobics is just a stellar class as well. Gary's lectures are absolutely illuminating, as I'm sure you know if you listen to his radio program and podcasts. All in all, I would say that it's a life-changing experience, and I would highly advise it for anyone who wants to open their mind, expand their horizons, make changes in their lives, and begin a journey of improved health.
Those are just two. And this is not the same as the anti-aging. I'll deal with the anti-aging protocols tomorrow because they're being finally approved by a whole team of scientists today. So I'll be able to tell you what we can reasonably expect, but it's all positive. And they're going to let me know tonight, and then I'll tell you tomorrow. But this is the health nutrition. It's separate. People from all walks of life, people from around the world, people of all ages, ethnicities, everyone's invited to sit at my table. If you don't want to, that's your business, but no one's excluded because of all these superficial considerations. Everyone's a sacred human being in my book, and I'm there to try to help you, if I can, in your journey to live a longer and healthier and happier life. And the emphasis is happiness and joy and laughter. And that's through all of our workshops and insights. You can do as little or as much as you want. There's no rigidity. It's very fluid. So if you just, well, I want to spend more time over here with the butterflies, do so. Can I go down and feed the donkeys? Of course you can. Can I sit over there and watch the swans? Absolutely. Can I help feed the peacocks and the guinea hens and the chickens? Yeah. What if a chicken jumps up on my, you know, lap? Pet it. It's coming up there to get a little love. And I can have all this juice all day long, as much as you want. Yeah. And there's singing, there's wonderful times there and dancing. There's working out in the gym, the power walking in nature. It's going to be warm. It's going to be 85 to 90 degrees every day. Weather couldn't be more perfect. And there's no negativity. There's no gossip. There's no meanness. There's no self-righteous indignation. None of that. There's just joy at being around and being alive. So if that's good for you, if you deserve that, give it to yourself. Call Luann at 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. We are limiting it to just between 20 and 30 people. That's it. Because I got the anti-aging at the same time. And I want to make sure that we have everything. We've done it before and it was wonderful. Worked great. And I'm there every day, all day. I get up at 4. I go to bed at midnight. And so I'm making sure everything is smooth. And we have supervisors for every area that goes on. So if it's power walking, someone's walking with you. If it's in the gym, someone's guiding you. Someone water aerobics, one of cooking classes. And we have a woman who overcame major illnesses, life-threatening illnesses, to get her health back. And she's going to be there teaching classes in gardening, in mushroom growing, something you can do in your own home, in sprouting, in microgreens. There's going to be John C. from California, one of California's most acknowledged and recognized acting coaches. And he's retired. He still works on some movies. In fact, he was just over working on a Robert De Niro movie in Greece this past spring. But he's there and he's going to teach classes in making gluten-free desserts and how you can do that as your own home-based business. We have all these wonderful classes, Artist Healing, Elaine, one of Brooklyn's stellar artists, and she's there. And we have a spa built in the 1930s. It is an authentic villa. It was built by Italian artisans who were brought over from Sicily in the 1930s. Anyhow, it's just a wonderful experience. I'm going to be there, and I love being there, and I love the people. So give her a call at 903-881-7008. And I was just given a notice here that Eutrice, who follows me live, wants me to stay on because she has been flooded with questions about the economy, banks, what to do. And I was going to do that on tomorrow's show, but I'm going to stay on, Eutrice, so you can continue listening. And I'm going to give you a lot of insights that you may not be aware of to protect your assets, to let you know the truth of what's happening, and going beyond all the pundits who've given you their superficial, well, it's all about inflation and spending too much money. I'll give you a completely different perspective on that in just a moment. Otherwise, thank you for listening today. And remember, this only works if you pass on the information that you feel is valid. If you feel what I've shared is reasonable and responsible and grounded in reality, share it with at least 5 people. Really, share it with 5 people. Maybe they don't know anything about this. Maybe they don't know about all the documentaries and all the investigative reports and all the essays. Send them to GaryNall.com, but send them first to PRN.live. We're going to take a break, have some music, go to Eutrice, and I'm going to be joining her for at least a little bit.